Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum.
Still spinning around over here. Can you hear me? okay. All right. According to this box here, it don't look like I'm going through. But anyway, if you can hear me, that's good. If you can't hear me, holler, do something, wave your T-shirt at me or something. Anyway, good evening. And here we are again today, already September 23rd, 2023. Yikes. I remember when I was young, they had a movie about Frankenstein 1980. And wow, we thought that was way off into the future, you know. And then remember when Prince made that song 1999? I said, wow, man, 1999, wow. And here we are, 2023. That makes me sound like, you know, maybe I'm 100 years old or something. Anyway, well, thank everybody for tuning in. I want to shout out to all of you out there around the world who tune in and give us support. Appreciate you. I know we have a lot of other people out there tuned into us. So, you know, we probably got as many haters tuned into us as we do people that care and support us. I don't know why haters tune into us, but they sure like to tune in. Maybe they really like us, huh? Maybe that's what it is, you know? And I wanted to send our sympathy out to Philip. You know, he said he buried his father today. So that's kind of sad news, you know, when we lose our parents. It's something that we have to always appreciate, you know. I lost both my parents. So when I see people that still have their parents, I always try to encourage them to appreciate them and, you know, enjoy them. You know, some people have, you know, they don't appreciate their parents or they fight with their parents or something, you know. I mean, if you don't get along with your parents, you know, that's all right. Just stay away from them or whatever. I see people, they act like your parents owe you something, you know. And, you know, I run across this a lot where you ain't my dad, you know, and all that. And what have you ever done for me? You know what I mean? You know, we have to appreciate our parents, and that's really important because they're our blood, and they had a hard life, and a lot of times they had a hard life before we came. Then when we came, we made it harder, you know. Well, I probably did anyway. But, you know, I appreciate it. My parents, my father, I miss him, my mother. And those of you that still have your parents, I really envy you and hope that you appreciate them and respect them. Don't expect nothing from them. Just be happy they're taking another breath. Be happy they're there with their wisdom, you know. And if you have some kind of a problem with them, you know, just, you know, don't go around them, you know, or whatever. But remember, a lot of people say, well, they brought me into this world and look what they did for me. Well, you're in this world. nothing you could do about it except commit Harry Carey or something, you know. But they brought you in this world. They gave you life through Wakantanka for some reason. They were your parents, you know, nobody else. So appreciate them. And, you know, like I said, send sympathies and prayers to Philip, because I know what that feels like, and many of us know what it feels like. It's hard, you know, especially when you lose your father, because a lot of us, you know, you look at your father's most powerful person. How can this be, you know? So I just thought I'd mention that, because I think back, you know, about, I remember I was doing this, I did when my mother passed away. I did the radio show 2 hours later. Wow, that was strange, you know, I mean, I just did it. The reason why I did it was because she always told me, don't give up nothing for me. She told me, what makes me happy is that you're doing something good for our people, for society, for your family. You know, just do the best you can. Don't give up nothing for me. You know, one time she was ill and in the hospital, and she told my brother, she said, don't tell Rick. Don't tell me. She says, he might show up in a Cadillac or anything just to get here. You know, don't tell him, because he'll find a way to come here to be with me, and I want him to, you know, just whatever he's doing, if he's driving truck, working, I want him to work and finish up, don't, you know. I'll be here, I'll wait, you know, she said that. You know, that's kind of funny, because in other words, she said, you know, he might show up in a Cadillac or something that's not his, in other words. Anyway, you know, I was thinking about that, because, yeah, that's how she was. She wanted me to finish what I was doing, or she wanted us to do the best. Your parents usually go before we do. And before they go, they would like to be proud of you, proud of us, you know. I think my mother, she told me she was happy. My brother, Larry, which has always come to the radio show, she said she's proud and happy for him, and she's happy for us having family and life and everything, and you know, she, you know, doing good, have a job, have a home and all that, they're happy. They want to leave that way. So, you know, we need to try to live a good life for them, so when they go, they can leave in a good way. And yeah, we feel bad for them, you know, nothing we can do about it. But the main thing is, don't give up. Don't throw everything away, because they don't want that. You know, my mother flat out told me that. Don't give up nothing for me. You keep on doing what you do. And that's what I want. So, hey, Tanshi, I'll let you take over, since you're here. If you're, are you there? You.
Oh.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Of course I can. Hey,
all right. I'm up here in Round Valley Indian Reservation, my wife's reservation. So that's where I'm calling you guys from. But I'm up in the mountains up here.
Wow.
Okay. But, we'll say a prayer. Wow. We'll get started here. We'll say a all prayer right. Real quick and on with the show. Oh, actually, let's get it started. All right, you guys, I'm going to say a prayer. Say a prayer and we'll get started here. Nehat Hunkashla, Lakota, I think Lila Onkpanichap, Ash, Ed Hunkashla, which only one Unglonichon had Hunkashla, Spunky Chapunko, Ushinkilapona, Tuktextel, Tunkashla, Nok Yotikap, Sitch, Akik, Upset, Lenovoki, Changed Hunkashla, Yotankeva Kanjalaki, and at Hunkashla, Namakanaki, Nehat Hunkashla, Yohila, Axorion Shashapchanke, Ushulon, Novoki, Ashtesh Aglumpe. Tunkashla Nishnola Wanika Poko Shukilapo. Mushukilapo Tunkashla. Haho Mitakias.
Oh, well still. Yeah, you know, usually as soon as I click you on, I hear you because you're unwrapping candy wrappers, you're cutting leaves or something, you know. You're giving all kinds of signs before you turn off. So. You know, are chewing on something, you know. I say cutting loose. You know. So, all right. Well, it's good to have you on, and it's good. I appreciate that, you know. That's a good way. You know, we always got to start it out Lakota style, you know. But, you know, lots of fun a lot of people don't understand this. If we start joking with them, some of them get offended. They don't know how to take it. They get all quiet. They get some kind of way. They, you know, I don't know what's wrong with a lot of other cultures, but they don't know how to live or something, you know. They don't know. You know, like Lakota, we tease a lot, especially if we like somebody. If we get to know somebody, they better get ready for some teasing or something, you know, and don't get all offended and rah, 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 you know, be happy because, you know, once we start teasing you, that means you're in like Flint, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as I clicked your phone line, though, right away I heard you cut one, you know. So I clicked it out because I got all ashamed for you, you know.
I didn't know it picked it up that bad, Tasha. You know, next time I'll send it out quietly.
It didn't even sound toy. It didn't even sound toy. Okay, I better quit returning it. I'm getting back.
You know,
here. Go ahead, Tucker.
You know, especially this, you know, Lakota humor. Like you were saying, people get offended. You know, that's you only live once. You know, and why are you getting butthurt, getting offended? You know, think about things before you get mad. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I know a lot of people have a hard time controlling that part of it. But when you think about life and how short it is, like you was just talking about, our mothers and fathers, you know, we're considered wabalenicha. You know, in the Lakota language, Wabalenicha is described as, that's described as no place to go. See? You got no place to go. You're all alone now. You know, your mother and father, the ones that took care of you, that cherished you, raised you. Like you were saying, if you have your mother and father, learn to really appreciate them, no matter how hard life is. Learn that, you know, they, like Clancy said, they suffered a lot alongside of you, especially your mother and your father, the way they raised you. Your mother always stood beside you when you were sick, you was having a hard time when you was young. Your mother was there, and the father was doing everything he could for you and the mother to get well. You know, it's we have to stop and think of those things. Those of you that have mothers and fathers, it's learn to appreciate them, no matter, like we was just talking about. You know, life is too short to be mad or to get offended or to look at things negatively. That's negativity doesn't belong anywhere close to your mother and father. Me and Tanshi, we don't have none. And sometimes I'm out there all alone crying. You know, I'm a grown man, but yet I go out and cry for my mother and my father. And I think of some of the things that we went through. And, you know, I don't want nobody to see me, but I do cry at times because they're not here no more. And I want to talk to them, and I want to see them, you know, and hold them, hug them, and talk to them. Just be in their presence. We don't have that no more, you know. And it's really hard at times. It's hard on me at times. But a lot of times I don't show it. But what Clancy said is right. You know, your mother and father, no matter how hard it is, you know, learn to appreciate who they are and what they are. They're your parents. You know, think about some of these kids that when they were at birth, they lost their mother. The mother wasn't there. That boy is going to always, or that girl, they're going to always wonder when there's a mother over there hugging her child, you know, taking care of that kid. That young kid is going to wonder how that feels. So he's going to look for his mother all his life. And the father the same way. But those of you that have mothers and fathers, really appreciate them, cherish them, because those are the only people that will ever stand beside you, no matter what. Because you belong to them. They brought you here. And they might have had a hard life, like Clancy said, but we made it harder. But yet, they took us and raised us. Now we're here. You know, I have kids myself, and I love my kids. It doesn't matter what they do or how they are. I'm still their father, and I love them unconditionally. It doesn't matter to me because those are my kids. I brought them here. And I could imagine how my mother and my father felt about me, about my brothers and my sisters. And, you know, before my father passed away, me and him had a long talk. And he told me that, you know what you're doing. You know how to do it. But he said, always pity your mother. Always take care of your mother. And that was something I did tell my mother passed. But the hardest, one of the hardest things in life is losing your mother. To me, anyway, it was. Because that comfort that she gives you, you will never, ever find that kind of love or respect anywhere, no matter how hard you look. And these kids that don't have mothers, their mother passed away when they were babies. Just imagine how they feel. You know, just think of what they're going through because they don't know what it's like to have that motherly love or that fatherly love, you know. And it's kind of...
That's why I try so hard to... We need to try real hard to live for our children because loneliness is the hardest way to live. And I can't stand to think of my children being lonely, you know, because a grown man, as old as I am, there's sometimes I feel bad and I wish I could talk to my mother, because she's the only one I could open up anything to, but she's gone. So I can't do that. So I'm sitting there feeling like a little pup out in the rain, you know, like with nothing, you know, Wablenicha, you know. And when you're a Wablenicha, you know, don't feel bad because you're close to Wakan Tonka when you're Wablenicha, because remember, he cares for you too, and all your pains and everything. So you know, you can pray and get some, you know, because when you're all alone, that actually, you know, that's your connection to your mom, your father, and your ancestors, your grandmas, and everybody that left before you, you know. So we're never totally alone. We just have to believe and understand that they're still there. But it's hard, you know. And like I said, like Tanashi said, sometimes he cries, you know. I mean, I've been through that, and I'm not going to lie, you know. There's times when nobody's around, and I say, wow, man, look at this. You know, who can I tell this to? Who can I talk to? You know, who can I, you know, it seems like your mother is the only one you could tell anything, any problem you had. And when they go, when they're not here, you have trouble. You know, even you love your wife, you know, even though you love your daughter, there's things that you just can't tell anybody except your mom, you know. And your father's another one, you know. I mean, you know, men act like they seem like they're tough and they don't care. But, you know, they do, because like me, I mean, I might act like I don't care. Maybe my kids act like I don't care or something. But let something happen to one of them and watch me show up ready to whip on somebody over them, you know. Let something happen and I will be there, you know. I get mad at my nephew and he got in trouble, or my son, and right away I was sitting there in juvenile hall ready, trying to get him out, you know. They got into it with somebody way in California, you know. I was, next thing I'm driving all the way to California, who's picking on my boy, you know? I mean, men, we care just as much as our mothers do. But people act like, you know, I have trouble, even my own kids, you know. Oh, don't care. You know, just, you know, because they see Washichus buying their kids Cadillacs and Corvettes and all that. Here we are. We're just poor Indians. We can't even, you know, get them nothing. We can't buy them stuff like Washichu does. And because of the way society is, watching YouTube and social media, then you know, you get on Facebook or something and you see people acting like they're rich when you really know them, they're not. You know, standing there with a glass of champagne like they're in the elite club, but when you really know them, they're just a bum, you know. But young people see that stuff, and they want to be like that. You know, they see, like, some guy on Facebook has a profile of him washing his nice car. You know, I say, what a bum wasting all that water, you know. You know, there's people that like to show off, boast around. And these children see those people, and they do have an influence. And they want to be that way, and they get depressed because here's your father. He don't buy you a car. Here's your father. He don't, you know, he ain't going to give you $500 or $1,000 every week, you know, or something like that. You know, so us poor Indians, you know, we go through hell because we want to do something, but we can't, you know. The only thought we have is maybe if I win the lotto, you know, or something like that, you know. But you know, we have no hope. All we can do is do the best we can with the little we have. And you know, our kids should know that. You know, I never went around expecting nothing from my mother or father. I tried to help them. You know, I didn't ask what take money from my mother. I tried to help her, give her money. When she had a problem, go down and help her fix her plumbing. One time, you know, Tanshi, one time me and Zeno drove all the way to California to fix my mom's plumbing in her house. Because family members that lived right there and using the house wasn't busting the grate. So me and Tashi drove down there and fixed up her, you know, her plumbing. And you know, that's how I always tried to do it, to help them, to help my father when he was there. I never once ran around, oh, I'm going to ask my mom for some money or ask my dad for some money. I wouldn't do that. You know, I looked at it this way. If I had to ask them for money, then I must be a real bum, you know, because it's hard. It's a struggle. But we have to do the best we can. And if Wakantanka makes it obvious or something, maybe mom or pop will say, here, you know, help you out, or, you know, relative or somebody, you know. And it ain't so bad. But, you know, we can't expect this coming from our mother or father or anything. We have to try to do our best we can at all times because, you know, they're old. When you get old, it's harder. Even me, it's hard to function, but I still do the best I can, you know. But I always encourage, just like Tanshi said, our parents, if they're still there, if we still have them, if you still have them, good about them. Don't be angry at them. Don't think, oh, she loves him more than me, or she loves my sister more than me, or she never was there. When I was in prison, I quit writing to everybody. I wouldn't write to nobody. I didn't want to even get no news. I was in there doing time, you know. But yet, here comes my birthday or something, and here comes mom. Send me a letter, you know, $20. People say, $20, you know, what's that? But to me, $20 from mom coming through the mail and getting on the books in prison, wow, that was something, you know. And I didn't always expect it, but, you know, she never forgot me, you know. So when I was out, when I was around there, I didn't forget her. You know, I would go all the way, even though I lived here, I'd go all the way down there and visit her all the time, as much as I could. If I got some money for gas, I'm down there. Next morning, day after, sitting there drinking coffee with her. I love sitting there drinking coffee with my mom, you know. And I don't see people doing that. My mom lived there, and I had family right there. Nobody would go over there and help. You know, people take stuff for granted. You know, they don't think till it's too late. Then when it's all over, they all want to play the who loved mama more than me, who loved mama more, or who loved daddy more. heck with that, you know, when they're there, you know. You know, where's that competition of who loves who more when someone's alive, you know? And I see that so much. So I'm glad we brought it up. And I, you know, Philip, I don't know if he hears us or what, but he's on the line, and I wanted him to know, you know, we think about that stuff. Our brothers, our relatives, you know, when you lose somebody, you know, we know what it's like. And so sending blessings out that way. The other thing is, you know, like, I was thinking about, to change the subject a little bit, Toshi, I was thinking about how these Americans, you know, how loyal they are to the government. They're not loyal to their mom and dad like they are to the government. There's people loyal to Trump and not loyal to their own mom and dad. You know, that's why they're out there rioting January 6th. All these people rioting January 6th, going to jail, thinking this and that. They never once thought about their mother or their father or their family. They're doing this all for some Rudy Poot. And that Rudy Poot, you know, I was reading what when Trump was in office, they had a handicapped veteran singing at a memorial. I don't know, he was saying America the Beautiful or something. And he was, you know, he was wounded and he was couldn't walk. He was on a wheelchair, all, you know, crumbled up, but he could still sing out of voice, so he sang. And there Trump told the commanding officers, why you bring somebody like that here? Nobody wants to see that. You know, why'd you bring him here? He said, why do you bring people like that here? No one wants to see that, the wounded, you know? And then he said, never let Avila appear in public again. He told that general, don't bring that guy here no more, you know? Because Trump had to get up and go hug a wounded veteran when he didn't, you know, when he thinks he's too clean to go hug a handicap, you know what I mean? But you see, that's how they are, the Washichu, the American. So I don't understand even this veteran singing America the Beautiful when obviously he's thrown under the bus. You know, they throw you under the bus, give you a medal, throw you under the bus. Why is there so much love for the government and for a country that was made up 247 years ago? Why? You know, why is there so much racism? Why do these Washichu hate everybody when the government don't care about them? Like I was telling you last week, I was at a guy sitting there with one leg begging for money. It's another truck stop. All these Washichu begging for money all the time. I'm a combat veteran. Help me out. You know, that's what they say. Combat. If you're a combat veteran, that's like saying, I'm a killer. Help me out. I killed a bunch of people. So help me out. You know, that's how they are. That's why they even honor people like Custer and all these killers, you know. When a guy bombs a village full of women and children, they give him a medal, you know. And that's who you support when you support the American. That's who you Indians support when you support the American, you know. That's why, you know, I put this post on. I said, you know, I don't care what you call yourself American, brag about you're American. Just don't say you're Lakota because you don't, you know, you didn't earn that. And what I meant by that was like what I said. Call yourself American. Call anything what you want. But don't say you're me. Don't say you're from my family. Don't say, you know, you're my people. That's what I meant, you know. In other words, don't say you're Apache. Don't say you're Navajo. Don't say you're whatever tribe. If you want to claim American, claim it. But don't come here and say you're this, you know, this tribe or that. But yet, of course, some Navajo guy.
You guys deserve to get locked up.
You know, get all offended like, because I didn't mention them, you know, or something, or took it all wrong. Like, you know, because of Lakota, I put Lakota above everybody else. People just don't have the brain and the intelligence to think no more. And then she used the F word. I'm a effing Navajo. Right there tells me she's not right. Because she's a woman. Women are sacred. Women are special. So why say I'm a effing Navajo? That's what I told her. You got that right. You sure are a effing Navajo. You know? You know, can't even talk decent for a woman. That's what we have out there. And when we do this radio show and do this, you know, program, all we want to do is give a message for all of you out there to appreciate your culture, appreciate what you have, appreciate where you come from. Appreciate that, you know, appreciate it. There ain't a man on earth that was born American. There ain't a man on earth that is America or was born in America, because there's no such thing as America. Everybody that was born is from their own culture. I don't care what. So I don't understand why these Americans say, oh, I was born in America, so I'm American. I don't care if you're a German and born in New York, you're still a German. You're Irish, you're still Irish. You're French, you're still French. You're African, you're still African. Don't you see that? Don't you know that? I don't understand why they're so dense and think that it's more prouder to be something that's nothing, something that don't even exist. This is the American Indian Movement. And I'll say this right now, the American Indian Movement. We're the American Indian Movement. We're the American Indian Movement. But yet, keep this in mind. It doesn't come before our tribe. It doesn't come before our family. The American Indian Movement was basically founded around 1968. It's like America. It was, you know, made 1968. Although natives before that time was always in the same struggle. You cannot say, oh, I'm this and I'm that, you know? No. If you're Apache, you was born Apache. If you're Lakota, born Lakota, you're Lakota, like Toshi says. You can never change that. You know? I mean, you can take your heart out and put it in a white man's body, and you still ain't going to be white because you're going to have Lakota heart. You know? Something, you know? You can't change what you were meant to be. So why are you over there trying to claim something you're not? Cracks me up about society. You know, there's no such thing as America. And that's what I liked about that Hawaiian woman that says, you know, that talked about, she said, we're not she said, we're not American. She said it out front. We're not American, you know. And she's right. You know, she's talking for the Hawaiians. But yet, at the same time, I hear that, you know, our people, you know. We're, you know, her name is Hoana, Hounani K. Trask or something. I can't pronounce it, but, you know, she said some pretty heavy stuff. And, you know, she talked about the Wasichu. She calls them Haole, or how they say that, don't she? Haole.
Haole. Haole. Haole.
Yeah, Haole. She says, you know, and that's like us Wasichu. She said they don't like to be called Haole because they're used to being the people who name other people. You know, she made me laugh in my ear say that, you know, because they don't like to be called Wasichu. You know, I don't know what can we call them? There's no such thing as America. So what can you call them? You know, they don't even know what the hell they are. They lost track, you know. Some of them don't even know what the hell they are.
Like I said, Tranchi, the reason why they call them Wasichu is because they stole slaves. See, this is what they seen them as. They stole people and enslaved them. That's why Wasichu, they stole workers. Washi means to work. Ichu means to take.
Yeah.
Take workers, see. Wasichu. They seen that. Anything, it's descriptive. Our language is descriptive. So that's why what they seen is what they call those people, see. And that's the way it works.
And that's what she says. She says this is a descriptive, you know, word. It just, you know, it's just her description of them. You know what I mean? It means nothing. It's just that's what we describe them as. Like you said, when they showed up, they showed up with servants, prisoners, slaves, everybody to work for them, you know, and they always have this rank, you know. You have a president, a vice president, you have a general, you have a colonel, you have a major, and go down the rank. And then the ones down below are just Rudy Poots. You know, they live like that. None of them are equal. None of them are equal. There's always somebody above them. There's always somebody above them. They use the Constitution, all men are created equal. But yet, they're hypocritical right off the bat because you got president, you got a general, you got all these people. And then here we are, we're just considered scumbags, Indians, you know. We're not equal to them, you know, and that they trained people ever since they got here all over. They always call us savages to the whole world. So when people show up here, we're savages. When people come from France or Europe or China, they come here, oh, that's an Indian. He's just a savage and he's stupid. They think we're stupid too. They think we don't know nothing. They think we don't have a brain in our head. But they don't know we're the most versatile people on earth. We can do any damn thing that they can. I like to see Trump try to fix a flat tire or fix a carburetor on a motorcycle or, you know, or stuff like that, you know. That guy couldn't do nothing. But how come these stupid people think they're better? Because they got Mazaska, is what it is. And then when they were raised with Mazaska, they were always told they're better than everybody else. So Trump thinks he's better than them. And I'm just using Trump as an example because Obama, Biden, every U.S. president is the same. They're all the same. None of them are better. I always get irked when I see Indians saying, oh, Obama was the greatest president. greatest president, what, we're still in the same shoes we were before he came, and you're saying he's the greatest? You know, we're still living, struggling over here. They're still cutting us off, and he's better than it. Better? Ain't none of them better. Same way with these tribal presidents. Say, I look at our rest when I was young, 50 years, it was beautiful. Now it's tore up. And these tribal leaders act like, oh, put their foot on the desk that there's somebody. And when they run for office, they run with the same baloney. Oh, I'm for traditional rights. I'm for this. I'm for that. You know? But nothing got better. The dam I used to swim in when I was a little boy is dried up out there. Another favorite dam, they say, got E. coli in it. You know? I mean, these tribes are doing nothing for the people. Look at how many years the Navajo Red's been without water. You would think in 50 years they would have somebody to hustle that for them. But for 50 years, they don't have it. But they sure honor that American flag. You know, they took them Navajos, that Washington, Dan Snyder, up there in the Washington, was sure feeding them corn dogs and had redskin jackets on them. You know? I mean, we're going to honor those people. Yeah.
You know,
go ahead.
Country, there's a river. There's a river that runs right there, right through that. And the Washitos use that. They use that to irrigate their crops, all these other things. And yet, why is it the Navajos don't have running water? Still. And yet, they claim to be American? What is that about?
Well,
you know,
like
it's better.
They have the San Juan River there. They have the Colorado River there.
Yeah.
And plus a bunch of lakes. Anyway,
you know,
go ahead, Wayne. Wayne was going to say something.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Hey, I just want to say, you know, you're talking about the loyalty which people have towards the United States. I understand that, okay? However, here's the thing. Going around campaigning about us, United States campaigning or the Washitu campaigning against us, calling us savages, this is really interesting because why are they calling us savages? And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, okay, we had our product years ago, which is buffalo, you know, and they wanted to, the Washitu wanted to go ahead and wage this war against us with the U.S. Army and kill off millions of our buffalo so they can acquire our land just to do away with us. Now, you see, the Washitu is a long-term planner. However, they call us savages. Look at the savagery they're doing to their own people. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, okay, you would think the Washitu would keep our buffalo around, not only for us, but for them. Because if you look at the number one cause of death in the United States, it's high blood pressure and high cholesterol, and it's called cardiovascular disease. Our meat from those buffalo didn't have any type of high fat content in them, okay? That kept us alive. But, you know, why go out and kill our buffalo and then bring in your cattle, the Washitu cattle, bring it in for Mazeska and sell it and market it so everyone in the United States can go ahead and get the number one cause of death called cardiovascular disease, okay? And then they want to have this loyalty to their free industry in Mazeska here in the United States. See, this absolutely doesn't make any sense. But then again, we're savages, according to the Washitu. But then again, they don't think to themselves, oh, okay, you know, what they have done to the rest of the world.
But Wayne, check this out. We can't just blame that meat. Because on the other side, they're over there telling us to be vegans. And there's a big move out there, even on Facebook. They got even Mexicans out there trying to tell us we better quit eating meat. Well, I'm going to watch those Mexicans disappear from heart disease, because all the people I seen that turned vegans, remember we had a, I remember this, there was a father at Red Cloud School that was a big vegan guy, and he used to trot down the road every day, jog. Oh, I feel great. But I noticed he always had a handkerchief to wipe his nose. I feel great. Well, one day he had a heart attack and died. He was only not even 50 years old. You know, and he wasn't eating no meat. You know? Well, you know, the thing is, they want to impose everything on us. And I'm telling people out there, you know, if your mom, let's go back to mama now, you know, because our parents, my mother fed me meat, potatoes, vegetables, kabobu bread, milk, and whatever, even Kool-Aid sometimes, you know. That's what I was raised when I was young. So I got to have that now, because that's what my metabolism wants. Now, we couldn't afford buffalo meat. And if we did, like you said, Wayne, everything's poison now. Even the deer's poison, because the deer is eating this grass out here that's the same thing the cows are eating, that the farmers are putting poison in them so they can get fat. So nothing we, even the fish in the water is polluted or contaminated.
Yep.
So, you know, but even though all of this, we got to remember, got to eat. So our body needs meat. You know, I don't know about the, you know, I'm not talking about John Franklin or John whoever. You know, I'll teach you. Talking about my Indian people, they eat meat. Yeah.
You know, Moshe, speaking of this meat, when you think about way back in the day when humans first came around, you know, the Tatanka, we come from the buffalo. They didn't like us. They were jealous. No easy, even those animals back then. So there's a story, and there's a lot of truth to this, that there was a race around the Black Hills to see who will eat who. And we won, the two-legged. We won the race. So that's why Wakuntunka said that we had to eat the buffalo. We lost that race. They would have been eating us. We probably would have been grass or something else. I don't know. You know. But they would have been eating us. That's how the story of the meat, how we, Lakota people, had to eat the meat. The survival. It was all a means of survival. Lakota. Is the one that that's why we have meat to this day. And it doesn't matter, like Tanshi said, these cows, whatever's out there, they're all contaminated. Even these buffalo, always keep in mind, they were trying to annihilate the buffalo at the same time they were trying to annihilate us. And there was only 500 head of buffalo left. And a woman, Lakota woman, married a general to save those 500 head in the Black Hills. All these buffalo you see today come from those 500 head. They tried putting it into a cow, but the cow couldn't handle the size of the buffalo. So what they did was they had the longhorns down in Texas. They couldn't ship the buffalo down there because there's a fever they get when they put these buffalo and drive them long distance. And they die. these buffalo. You can't transport them in trucks and stuff. So what they did was they took those Texas Longhorns, big animals, and that's they artificially inseminated these buffaloes with these Texas Longhorns. All the buffalo you see today came from those Texas Longhorns. See? So think about this. Think about what Tranche is telling you and what we're saying about these vegans. They all want to be vegan. They want to be this. They want, you know? Tralo, meat, is one of our main survivals. That's one of our main ingredients to survival. And we still live with that to this day as Lakota people. And like Tranche said, a lot of contamination out there. Even these deer, these elk, everything that's out there. I always say, think of what the Washitu did in the past 200 years, maybe even less than that. In the past 50 years, the contamination that they spread, they don't think about the well-being of these animals. To them, it's a dollar sign, mass production. And that's the reason why all these things, like Tranche said, you know, it's contaminated. And it doesn't matter. You could be a vegan, like Tranche said, guy running. Oh, I feel great. Oh, shit. Not even 50 years old, he has a heart attack. You know, there's more to these heart attacks, but yet they're trying to blame red meat. That's one of our main staples, the Lakota people. That's why we were the Buffalo Nation. We followed the buffalo. Meat. We traded to a lot of different tribes meat because they like eating meat. And that's how it was. And like Tranche said, even the fish, even in the ocean, the fish contaminate. But yet we're still eating them. You know, that's something that you know, the Washitu, like I say, in 50 years' time, the destruction they created because of Mazaska, because of money, greed. You know, think about that. What Tranche is saying is the truth. We will always eat meat, no matter what, because that's how we're raised. That's who we are. And meat, these vegans and stuff, if Wakuntunka wanted us to eat grass, he would have let the buffalo win when the time, in the beginning of time. The buffalo would have been eating us. We would have been grass. But that's not the case. We're humans. K'tay chasha. Akuntui chasha. That's us. We walk the earth with these animals, beautiful animals that they gifted us to eat. So they could share their flesh and blood. That's why when a Lakota dies, Cha'aganaka, they used to call it. They used to take a guy and hang him in a tree. Let the birds tear him apart. Whatever fell, coyotes, that's why they put him on scaffolding. You know, the birds had first choice because they helped us win that race, the two-legged. You know, then the rest, when it started falling apart, then the rest, the animals, we shared what we had, what Wakuntunka gave us. We shared with the animals. Today, we're putting in, they put these human in cans. Put them in the ground. Think about things like this. Look at how backwards Washitu really is. You know, and Tosh is right. I don't care what they say. Tralo, meat. I always love meat, no matter what. My ancestors, they grew up like that. They were raised like that. It just so happens that the Washitu and the destruction that they create were a casualty of that. And that's, look at how it is today. Even the water, money, you know. How is it that they could run piss and shit through a water plant and have people drink it? But yet these cows, these animals, they go to these creeks, these contaminated creeks, these waters, and drink that. And we still eat them. There's a lot to this Washitu logic. They call logic, Washitu logic. To me, it's pure stupidity. But Washitu doesn't have a mind. The only thing he has a mind for is Mozeska, destruction. Me and Toshi talked about this before. If you don't understand it, kill it. Look at what they did to our medicine men. Look at what they did to Sitting Bull. One of the greatest men Wakhuntunka ever put on earth. Jesus Christ, look at what they did to him. He was given to the white man, but the white man did that to him because they didn't understand him. We still have our medicine men, us guys. We've never done that. And yet they turn on and call us savages. We're the scum of the earth. Like Tunchi said, no matter where we go, these Washitus, you know, just today, I'm up here at Round Valley Indian Reservation, my wife's reservation. There's a white guy standing there preaching about black elk. And this is a Washitu. And he's trying to educate these Washitu, other Washitus, about the massacre of Wounded Knee. And I stood there and I was eyeballing him. And I was going to say something, but I just walked away because I know people like him. He probably read that Black Elk Speaks in and out, forward and backward. And that's why he feels he has a right to say stuff. But he's a Washitu dude, trying to teach India. You know, trying to, you know, it's things like that that really upset me. Because all of a sudden, here's a Washitu, holier than thou, because of a book called Black Elk Speaks. And I know where he was coming from, because that's still the number one seller, is Black Elk Speaks. It outsells the Bible, and that's a fact. Look it up. These Washitus, they study that book. Then they think they have common sense. No, they don't have common sense. You know, the Washitu stand there preaching about Black Elk Speaks. He doesn't know there's a Lakota guy standing there related to Black Elk. But yet he feels he has every right to tell these Indians and these Washitus about Black Elk and what he was about. Washitus are furthest from the truth that I've, you know, people that I've ever seen. You know, that's how they are. Destruction, kill, rapes, that's their world. They've been doing that for thousands and thousands of years. Look at Roman. Go back. Check these Washitus out. They've always, that's how they were. Conquer at all costs. Kill. Kill until they agree with you. Kill. Murder, you know. That's what it is. Washitu, that's how he thinks. And me and I talked to Toshi about this before. You could steal a man's, white man's wife. You could steal his car. You could steal his house. But if you try to take a dollar and steal a dollar from that Washitu, he's going to come after you with all he's got. Mozaska, greed. That's how Washitu thinks. All Washitus are that way. Every one of them. Look at what they did to Crazy Horse. Look what they did to Sitting Bull. Gall, rain in the face. All these so-called leaders. Dakota leaders. Even Apache, Geronimo. You know, look at what they did. They put bounties on those people. You know, they didn't understand that. The Lakota, the Indians, the native people here in America, had a different. They called theirs Jesus Christ, which they killed. We still had them. We still have them to this day. We Lakota people, me and Toshi talked about this. We still have them. We still have ours. We've never hung them on a cross or put stickers in their head or nothing like that. And didn't stab them in the ribs because they're real peaceful people. Ask Toshi, man. We live with those people. We know what they're like. And they're nothing like these Washichus. Nothing like them. And these Washichus,
you know, so
like I see, all the destruction they did, this Tralo, you know, don't blame Tralo for heart attacks, you know, everything combined, you know, like Toshi said, look at these GIs, Washichu GIs. What did they do to them? Think about that. It's no different. They don't care about people. All they care about is money. Mazaska. That's how it is, you know. Like I say, I'm up here at Round Valley, and there's a Washichu preaching about wounded knee, you know. This is how they are. This is their thing, see. And that's, you know, it's everywhere. You just got to be wiser. And like Clancy said, they call themselves American. They don't even know where they come from. They have no culture. They steal people's religion or so-called culture. And then they try to belong.
Well, they say, you know, I don't even believe there was ever a Jesus Christ. I don't care how much they talk about it. But, you know, if there was, that's 2,000 years. They go like 2,023 now, so 2,023 years. So before 2,023 years, mankind been here for no telling how long. But there are some people that, you know, think humans were only here for 100,000 years or whatever. But our people, just going back to our people, we never had no Jesus Christ. We always had spiritual leaders. From the beginning of time, we had spiritual leaders. And our spiritual leaders, back the further back we go, the more power they had. Because the further back we went, the more pure our mind was. And so for thousands and thousands of years, we had greater medicine man than any Jesus Christ. The only difference between us and them is we don't promote our spiritual leaders like they do. When our spirit, when we move on and take our journey, we honor them and we try to keep going with what we have. And we, you know, like back then, we always had new ones coming, young ones, powerful medicine men, more powerful than Jesus Christ. People that could use a chanupa and make a sun-ass tree stand up by itself. You know, people that could wipe out any disease in our bodies, do miracles, or if you want to call them miracles, or magic, if you want to call it magic, in broad daylight. And we still had, you know, I seen Grow Dog do stuff in broad daylight. You know, the point what I'm saying is before Jesus Christ came, who were those pale faces? Who were they? What were they before he came? You know, what it sounds like to me is they didn't start learning how to be good until he came. And still not good. even though he's there.
Yep.
They make this big
yep.
fancy thing, the tenth. They call it the Ten Commandments: "Thou shalt not kill." When they're blasting away every day,
blasting away.
And look at right now, the U.S. just gave $300 billion to Ukraine, and then gave them $35 billion more the other day. So that's "Thou shalt not kill." They're spending that much money to go kill Russians.
Yep.
But "Thou shalt not kill," and "Thou shalt not steal." But still they
yep.
stand on stolen land. They still stand over here and act like they're somebody, you know, when all they
yep.
are is a really a giant homeless race of people. The largest homeless race of people is the American. They find out who they are and go back to their own homeland. They won't be homeless no more. But as long as they're here, they're homeless. They have no home. They might drive Cadillacs, have yachts, and look like Trump and all that. But even Trump's just a big bum, if you think about it. He don't have no homeland. He's done. He has nothing. It's just a big show that they put on until they die. When they die, they're nobody. You know? Our indigenous people, our indigenous nation, we might not look like it, but we have everything. We still stand on our own homeland. We still walk with our own culture, with our own character, with our own way of life. And even without a dollar bill, even without a 50-cent piece, we make life function. It's like the Washitu told those Hawaiians a couple of months ago on the big fire over there, "Oh, you need us Americans. Why, you know, nobody was going to buy your pineapples. No. Why would you sell pineapples? You don't need to sell your pineapples. If you live over there, you need pineapples for you to eat. That's how stupid they are. Well, you got to sell them. You don't have to sell them. You have pineapples for your own people to eat. And then you go out and fish. The ocean's all around you. You don't need their mazaska. You don't need them. You don't need their cars even, because look how small Hawaii is. We don't need them. You know, if they got up and left right now, would you guys be able to live? Do you need them so bad? Why do we need them so bad? From what I see, there's enough food right out here that I could live for, you know, family could live, even if we're eating prairie dog. We still got fish, even though it's probably contaminated. But, you know, over these years, we probably adapted to their contamination and still digest their food all right. But what I'm saying is we don't need them. I was driving down Highway 20 last week, and the whole side of the road was full of buffalo berries. I never seen so many buffalo berries. Oh, the Washitu don't even pick them. You know, I was at Sundance, down Crow Dog Sundance, down there by the river, and here's that cherries all over the place. Cherries growing all over, and these people, these tokas that come from different places in the country, from South America, they're sitting there with cherries all over, don't even know. We told, "Hey, why don't you make some wasabi with it?" So these ones from Colombia said, "Wasabi, yeah." Grabbed some cherries and went over there and showed them how to make wasabi with the cherries. Oh, we didn't even know that. You see, people don't even know how to live. We can live here without them. And if we need to go someplace, you know, we just need to ride horses. We got horses out here. I can ride all over the place I want. You know,
we got lean.
We don't need them. Yeah. Yeah. We, you know, we got, the sooner we get rid of them, the faster our lakes and everything's going to come back, the faster we're going to clean up. Right now, they're the funk on the earth. The only way to get rid of funk is get rid of them, send them, tell them to go home. They're the ones funkied up the rivers. They funkied up everything. But my point is, we don't need them. We don't need them. You know, right now, if you use Mazaska, if you get too much of it, they're going to come over and try to get you for tax evasion. They got their little paws on everything. And, you know, they give EBT to these poor Indians, and they're out there like this one young girl. She already had on her fifth kid, and she just barely turned 30. And so she gets a lot of EBT because of them kids. But you know what? They got her over to a barrel. If they ever catch her doing something, they'll take that EBT from her and take her kids from her. You see, we don't need them. And those Hawaiians don't need them. Nobody needs them. They're over here eating our food up. They're over here drinking our water up. They're over here, what do you call them, leeching off us. You know, they're leeches, what they are. They're leeching off us, eating up our food, destroying our water and everything. And you think we need them? I mean, I wish I could say, how many of you think we need them? And see how many hands would raise up, you know? You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
What do we need them for? I mean, we can all do just fine without them. You know? I mean, look at back in the days. Tushy, Crazy Horse used to hang out down there in Oklahoma, Texas. Remember, they were over there. That's how come they brought the ghost dance from Nevada. They were all over.
Yeah.
They didn't have cars back in them days. When Crazy Horse and them went and tore up Julesburg, Colorado, they were down there in the horses. They didn't need no cars to go down to Julesburg and tear it up, you know? You know, it's in our brain. If you have an American mind, you think you need them. You know, if they weren't here, we wouldn't even need to do this radio show.
Yep.
We would have nothing to talk about if they weren't here.
We'd be living a good life, you know, living a damn good life.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because we got food. This country is the most richest country in the world if you get rid of them. With them here, it's not rich. It's poor. They destroyed everything. They poisoned the rivers. They poisoned the land. This whole country, the land is contaminated with all their pollution. Even in the middle of nowhere, there's pollution because the wind blows that pollution all over. Even in the middle of nowhere, there's chemicals in the dirt. Even our poor weeds have to learn to eat pollution to survive. You know, everything has to live off of their pollution. You know, natives, indigenous people can live without them easily. If they left tomorrow, got up and boom, took off. As soon as we ran out of gas, we wouldn't have no gas no more. So we'd have to figure out how to get around. Well, there's horses. I mean, I see it over here. One of my tushies down the road here has like 80 horses in his land, you know. I mean, Indians just have to learn how to get back on the horse. You know, they got so used to the Washichu. Nobody rides horse no more. Nobody does nothing. Nobody plants gardens. Nobody does nothing because they go to the store.
Yep.
No, nobody. nobody even hunts no more. Yep. And then the government made it where if you're ex-felon, you can't have a gun, so you can't even hunt. They've taken away all our rights to do anything. They want us to live off their mazaska. They yep. want us to think they're God. And most of our people think they are God. But we need to learn how to live without the Washichu. Or whatever you call them. Heole, you know, whatever you call them in your language. Yeah, you can live without them. If they got up and left, we wouldn't starve. You know, just go over there and sharpen up a cherry stick or something, a ash tree, and go out and spear a prairie dog or something, or go to the river, or go even live on frog legs. Anybody could catch a frog. You love frog legs. Even snake is good, you know. You know, we ain't dying for food. I look around all day long. I see thousands of prairie hens, turkeys running all over the place here. You know, everything. What do we need them for? But you see, you people out there that been assimilated and you people out there that came so used to them think you need them. Like the one Navajo girl was on Rush Limbaugh's show when Rush Limbaugh was alive and said, oh, we really thank the people that came on the, what is that shit, the Mayflower, because if they never came, we would be worse than a third world country. She acts like they actually think we're stupid. Even our own people think we're stupid. They think if the Mayflower showed up, we wouldn't have nothing. How do you think we'd be living? If they never showed up?
We'd damn fine without them. Yep.
We'd have some little fat, bunch of little fat Indian babies running around full of from meat and cherries and whatever else we got, grapes. Now it's grape season, all kinds of grapes growing up down the river, you know.
Healthy babies. Healthy babies. Real healthy.
And even in the winter, we knew how to live in the winter because we used to gobble meat. Some of our people still do that. I still do it, you know. When I get some deer, gobble it. And gobble means to dry it, slice it real thin, gobble it, and dry it, and then eat it all winter long. And same way with choke cherries. Remember, we used to make like hamburger patties out of choke cherries and let the sun dry them and save them all winter long. And, you know, you get sugar from them. And same way with currants and buffalo berries and everything else. Yeah. Our people know how to live without them, so why do we think we need them? You know, and those Lashichu say, oh, you need us. You know, you can't even find a job. Well, that's because they screwed us up. You know? We don't need them. And those Hawaiians don't need them. Yeah.
Hey, they also tell us to go stand before. Yeah, they tell us to go stand before them, too, to marry our women, you know? Those little Plymouth Rockers.
Yeah. You don't need you don't need them to get married. When you're with someone you love, you're married. When you have a baby, you're married. You just, you know, whatever culture you get blessing. You don't need no certificate or none of this baloney.
We definitely don't need the religion either.
Hell no. I mean, our way, nobody needs to teach you right from wrong. Wakan Tonka made us know there's things that we do we automatically ashamed about, you know, that we don't touch. We say, we don't do that. You know, there's something inside of all of us that say, we ain't doing that, you know. But the Washichu came and contaminated our minds, so they got our people. That's why we started even getting into having to kill people, you know, even having to, you know, all the stuff they do, you know. The worst thing is, you know, when you talk to a Shichu, you can't tell them the truth. They lie so much. You know, everything they do is a lie. If you tell them the truth, they turn it around against you. So if they ask you what's going on, you have to bullshit them. Oh, I'm not doing nothing, you know. Like when my son was in hospital, a little baby, the doctor said, are you guys giving them puppy soup? Oh, no, we ain't doing that, you know, when we really were. You know, and you see, we can't tell them the truth about nothing. They're the enemy, and wherever there's an enemy, you better be careful how you deal with the enemy. You know, don't let them know what you got in your pocket. Don't let them know what you got in your mind. You're never free around them. Check this out. When me and you get together to talk, we could talk about anything under the sun and not worry about it at all.
Yeah.
But if a white guy comes, sits down with us, or I'll say pale face, comes, sit down with us, then we got to be careful what we talk about.
Yep. They'll destroy anything. That's the thing.
Yeah. But when it's just us and the relatives, we talk about anything, you know?
Yep.
But once they come and sit down next to you, you got to limit what comes out of your mouth. Why is that? Because you can't trust them. How can you live with people you can't trust? How can you call people you can't trust your friends? How can you have peace, people you can't trust? You know, there's no way you can live with that, those people, because they don't know who they are. They're liars. You can't tell them anything. You can't be comfortable with what you say, because they'll split you up. You know, their favorite game is they'll sit down and talk to you, and then they'll go sit over there and say, hey, man, you know, remember Wombly was over there, was talking about you, you know?
Yep.
They don't like you, you know? And, you know, so we got, you know, that's, they're good at that. That's why you don't want them around you. Because the minute they go the other way, you don't know what they're going to say about you. So how can you live with people like that? Tell me that. You know, they got us so we can barely trust each other.
Yep.
You know?
And when you start thinking Washichu, it's not good. You know, that trust, that olakota. You got to have that. And if you ever notice, Tanshi, like on the res, these people that like the BI office and the, kind of like the people over there, it's like that there too. You can't trust those people over there, you know, that because that's how they are. Our own people are starting to learn more and more of this Washichu destruction and how they're going to get over. And that's what's happening. And so that's why I always say that we're real close to being red white men now, you know, because of that. And it's getting, look at the respect,
you know,
these younger kids have for elders, even these elders. We talked about like our mothers and our fathers. The respect we had for our mothers and our fathers. These kids today, they want to control everything. And law and order, they use the Washichu law against their parents. A lot of these kids, they learned real bad Washichu habits. So it's kind of a hard thing nowadays. And then, like they said, you know, they kind, the Washitu controls, like Hershey said, that woman with those kids. The minute she does something wrong, she's going to be in a world of hurt. See? And that's the thing. That's the thing that we're talking about now. See? That destruction, that the way they destroy, the way they learn to control, the way they get around people. And like Tanshi said, you can't trust the Washitu. And that's the truth. Like he said, you know, everything could be hunky-dory. Everything be going good. But the minute a Washitu shows up, always dissension. Always. And it's like that everywhere. Like look at even down in Leonard Crow Dogs, the camps down there. Washitus, like I say, these Washitu-minded people come down there, and then they try to push Leonard's relations out of there, you know, trying to control. They want that control. These things shouldn't be happening. See? And Leonard's family went over there, and, you know, they moved the camp. They said, why'd you guys do that? Oh, this is, you know, entitlement. That's what they look at. See? It's like they might give $1,000 or something right away. It makes them entitled, see, or they give something, and it makes them entitled. That's how this society is today, and we're getting a lot of these. The younger generation are learning that, a lot of them, and it's getting pretty ugly out there, you know. And it's all because the Washitu is it's creating all of that. And that's, like I say, you know, me and Tanshi talk about, you know, about these things that we see, that we know. It's not a lie. We put it out there. And yet a lot of people hate us for telling the truth. Why? You know, like he said, we have just as much haters as we do people that like us, you know. And think about that, Steve. Think about that. Why do those guys that don't like us still come and listen in? And it's because me and Tanishi tell the truth. See? And we ain't afraid of the truth. We've lived this long, and we don't care.
You have culture. Hey, hold on. It's also because you have culture and creativity, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Me and myself, you know, the culture that, like I always tell Tanishi, ours is not a religion. It's a way of life. And Tanshi knows that because we live it. That's why I always say it's not a religion. People talk about the freedom of Indian religion. No, ours is not a religion. Ours is a way of life. And we did damn good when Washitu was not around. We were a beautiful people long before the Washitu ever showed up.
We still are.
But in 200 years, look at the destruction they brought to this so-called America, this stolen land called America. It's made-up name. And
we knew
and people
how to pray
associate.
Since the beginning of time. We knew how to pray
yep.
since the beginning of time. You know, we didn't learn how to pray just because they brought that Catholic or whatever came over. They think they taught us how to pray. But you know what? Our people automatically prayed. And even Columbus and all them said that everything we did, we prayed about. Like, if I go out fishing, I, you know, give an offering out to the water, you know. And even when we hunt, when we see a eagle or something, we say, thank you, and give offering, and then we hunt. You know, when we pick timsalus, when we pick sage, everything we do is a prayer. Everything we do is a way of life. And we don't do one thing without appreciating and thanking Tokashila Wakantanka. We don't thing we do. It's like that all the time. And we've been like that since the beginning of time. They didn't teach us that. You know, if we were savages like they said we were, we wouldn't even, we probably would have killed each other off before they got here. But when they showed up, there was millions and millions of our people and different tribes and families all over these continents, and they just wiped them out. You know, the Spaniards and the Mayflower crew, Europeans, they just wiped them out, you know, and that's why we're down to where we're at. I understand why some of our people think, you know, they say, I'm not voting for Biden this time around. I heard an Indian say that, you know. And one time we were having a community meeting, and this lady, you know, she said, I got to hurry up and get home because they're having a debate on TV and I don't want to miss it. There was a presidential debate, you know. In other words, she wanted us all to know she's into politics. Oh, you know.
Man.
We don't, you know, these people are really, they're addicted. They're bad off. And we don't need to vote. What do we need to vote for? We know in our society who's who. We know who our spiritual leaders are, the ones that we can trust. We know who's who. We don't need to vote for that person. That person, just the way he is, and we're the way we are. He became a spiritual leader, and, you know, we became whatever we do. But we know who's who. We don't need to vote for them. We don't need to vote for an old guy that helps us out. He's just there to help us out. We don't need to vote for people. But that's how they are. And they have to vote for whoever they want to lead them. You know? Why do you need to vote for somebody you want? Why do you want somebody to lead you any damn way? Can't you lead yourself? See, I lead myself. Tanshi leads himself. And together, we're a bigger component to help more people out. But I'm not, no way, ever think I'm better than him. And he don't think he's better than me. But we give each other respect because I know in a lot of areas he's more brilliant than me, more knowledgeable than me, you know. And each one of us have something, and we know who's who. You know, if I need something to know something, I call him up, hey, what's this mean or what's that for or this and that, you know, because I know his level. We know the levels of each other. Why do we have? Do I have to vote for somebody else to have the same level as him? Shit, there ain't nobody has the same level as him. And when he goes, I'm gonna miss that person because nobody else is gonna be able to fill them shoes. Especially nowadays, because nobody's even working on it. You know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Tell me this. I wish I could see. Raise your hand if you need to vote for somebody to lead you. Do you need to vote for somebody to lead you? You know?
Yep. Nope.
That's,
you don't.
That's crazy. Hey, think about it. That's crazier than hell, ain't it? Don't you?
Yep.
Ain't that no brains that if you have to vote
you
for
know,
somebody?
That, you know. It wasn't like that long ago. People, look at Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse had people following him. He had his warriors. Sitting Bull had his people. But yet, Sitting Bull was recognized as the chief of all the Sioux tribes. That's how well he was known. He was a chief of all the Sioux tribes.
Crazy. And they didn't vote him in there. He didn't get voted in there. They chose him. They knew what his qualifications were. You know? And he didn't think he's better. He didn't live in a big giant teepee and the rest of us live in little, you know. I mean, we just equal. He just was had more wisdom, you know.
He had compassion. He had a lot of compassion, that dude. And that's why I say, look at Crazy Horse. He had warriors. You know, that man, his thing was war, warriors, to protect the people. Sitting Bull, he was, the reason why he was a leader was because of the great things that he did for all the people. Not just the group. He was known to help everybody and anybody. And that's why Red Cloud wanted the United States government to appoint him the sole chief of all the Sioux tribes when Sitting Bull passed away. But he wasn't worthy of it. He didn't earn it, but he wanted the United States government to make him that. There's a big difference. Sitting Bull earned it. He was recognized.
Remember, the government put that Karzai as leader of Afghanistan. Then they picked the leaders of Iraq. Then they picked the leaders of Ukraine. And they did that. That's why they chose Red Cloud over here and Spotted Tail over here.
Yep.
You know, so they chose them. But these weren't people we voted in, so we ignored them. They didn't mean nothing to us. They only meant something to the government, you know. They weren't somebody that we didn't need, but, okay, they put them there, so, you know. But they didn't mean nothing to us.
You know, Tunchi, think about this. Sitting Bull, the leader that he was, he loved his people so much that he took a bunch of them up to Canada to get away from that violence. And yet he came back to his people down here, and this is where he died. You know, think about what that man did. You know, the greatness that man had, that he didn't ask for. It was given to him by all the people.
Remember, there's a Karen that lives up there that used to come on the radio show. She lives in Canada, and she's Lakota, and they have a reserve up there, and they're from Sitabu's clan, and they live up there, and they're relatives. Yeah. They have the same names our people have down here. She comes down here sometimes and sun dances and goes back up there. But, and this is what gets me about our tribal governments. You know, she's Lakota, but just because she lives up there in what they call Canada, our tribal governments don't recognize her. That's how stupid our tribal leaders are. Well, we should automatically recognize her.
Yep.
We should automatically say, you're in with this, man, you know, and even have a, you know, but no, because Americans run this tribal government, they ignore those Canadian Lakotas. They ignore those Canadian tribes. You know?
That's what I'm saying. These our people today, look at how we are compared to Sitting Bull. How long ago was that? See? And the destruction that they did because they wanted the land. They wanted to kill off all the Indians. And they're still trying to do that. And yet our own people, like Tanshi said, our own people, the Navajo group, starts cussing them up and doing all these things. She doesn't think.
She doesn't have that Lakota thinking, or that what I should have said was Native American. You know, that's because everybody knows that. Me myself, when I say Lakota, I include all the people. You know, but that she doesn't have that thinking capability because she's thinking Washitu. See, she doesn't see it, and there's a lot of them out there like that. See, and we were just fine. We were damn fine without the Washitu. You know, how many thousands of years have we lived in this so-called this America now? You know, it was the fatherland back in the day. But how well did we get along? How great was this country, you know?
We lived here 100,000 years or more, a million years without the Washitu. And now they act like we need them.
Yep.
You know, they've only been around 274 years, but they act like we need them. And they got our people thinking we need them.
Yep.
You know, we don't need them, you know. And, you know, we're getting ready to roll out of here pretty quick, but I wanted to mention, you know, that, you know, our people are like, I noticed they're all getting ready to vote around here, too. And I said, dang, you know, they got all these things going up, you know. But I look at all their voting models and stuff. And you heard seen the same models for 50 years. Only one that I seen different was, well, Lakota, his voting motto was just simple. It said, vote for me, common man. That's all he said.
Common man.
He didn't say, I'm for education, I'm against drugs, I'm for sobriety, I'm for this, I'm for that. They all come up with what they're, I'm for jobs, I'm for this, you know. But he said, vote for me, I'm common man, you know.
That's the truth of it, man, you know.
Yeah. But you see, our people are really confused, really bad. And it troubles me because I say, why are they like that? You know, I can talk to somebody, sit there and talk to a person that acts traditional and then watch him flip right in front of my eyes to being American real quick. You know, and that really, you know, it's something because, in other words, there's no way to get to them. They're too far gone.
Yep.
They're too far gone. First of all, what's so hard about being yourself first? What's so hard about being Lakota first? What's so hard about that?
Yep.
Why do you gotta be Lakota but then be American at the same time? Why? Or whatever tribe you are. But most tribes, it's easier for them to be American than it is for them, you know. We're kind of the last holdouts, but we're barely hanging in there. And that's why even some of the smarter people from different tribes tell us, if we ever give up the Black Hills, every tribe in the U.S. is going to lose it.
Yep.
Because we're like the last hope. We're like the last hope, you know? And and we're hanging in there because most of them lost it. They already lost it, and they know it. So there's people that are rooting for us. And then and our own people don't even realize how important being traditional Native is. They don't know it. But we're going to have to cut out. Hey, Ursula Youngbear, do you have any comments before, you know? I see you there. I thought maybe you could say hello.
Hello. No, I just wanted to sit in and listen to some real Indians. I like what you guys were saying about the mothers. Tomorrow, my mother passed away 2 years ago, and so I just wanted to hear some Indians. I'm glad you guys have this radio show. I'm glad I could come on, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. And we're glad to see another Lakota Indian woman here with us tonight. It's important. We have, the women are special. You're special.
Uh-huh.
Then plus you're a home girl. I know your father and your brothers and your whole family, so sang with them at drum and everything, the brotherhood powwow and all that, it's really an honor to have some of your family, a piece of your family with you, and Denver and all of us, we know all your family. Wayne, you got any last comments?
Yeah, excellent show, man. Excellent show. I'll be on next week.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. We're all glad you're here. And once again, hold your family tight. And remember, relatives, we're all related. We're all related, all of us. It doesn't matter what tribe you are or whatever. We're Native, Indigenous, Indians. And I don't call them people from India, Indians either. They're Hindustans. They made up that name, India, just like they made up America. They became Indians in 1862. That place is Hindustan. And people need to know that, And they call them Indian Americans, and they call us American Indians. Crazy. Anyway, we're going to have to go, but Tosh, you can take over right now.
Oh, we'll see a prayer and we'll close it up. I'll talk to you about the country. I'll talk to you about the country. I'll talk to you about the country. Ata kuchti vashte tunkashla, yohina unkaki pakti. Yo unshun la piet tunkashla lechta etuki. Unshun ki la pot tunkashla, ho mitaki as.
Ah, wasero. With that, we're going to have to go. And I thank all you listeners out there and, all over. Red Hair Shirt in Berlin, Vistinchula, Frankfurt. There's a woman named Juan Blee down in Venezuela, and all over this country, people tune into us. So I want to thank you all for our. I don't want to sound like that. Thank y'all. I ain't gonna say that. Thank you all. Hey y'all. I ain't gonna get into that. But Doksha, okay. Next time.
Okay.
Doksha,
okay.
Talk again. And
Your son should die at all. Thank you.
csak sehol lecsukom. Én a tapsapettől most így jusskiálke vonkisigálkoktam.